Don't you dare be sour. Clap for your world famous
podcast.
9,000 time champs and feel the power of the podcast. It's the Matt Mania podcast. Yes, it is.
Hey.
What's up, y'all? We feeling the positivity up in here. Okay.
Yeah, Matt Mania, we in the house.
Yeah, y'all. Feel the positivity.
Mega Ram just got back from London.
We got a full house, and we back. The Matt Mania podcast is in the building. Episode
130.
Whoa, you hot.
And you coming in hot, Neo.
That was El Neo X.
But ladies and gentlemen, it's my always bad. Good to be with you. I'm feeling great. I get to be back with my brothers. We get to talk some wrestling and everything else that's been going on in the world. It's been a crazy couple of weeks, so I'm glad to be back. You guys held it down last week. I appreciate that. Also, shout out to Cap for the great analysis. Our WrestleMania weekend was lit. Y'all talked about it, of course.
To hear your take on a lot of things.
Oh, man, I'm going to get into it. But first, though, you know how we do. We start the show off. I'm going to get the round robin introductions the silliest way I can. Oh, all right, God. So we're doing it WWE style. Everybody gets half their name cut off. So
you saw that post today from the steel cage.
So
Brutus the Barber.
So
Sean
representing Detroit City 2018 or 19? Is it 19? Yeah, whatever. Every year is rapper year. Of the year. Hall.
You just Hall.
He's just Hall, ladies and
Hall
gentlemen.
Hall and Nash in the building.
That's funny.
As usual, on my right side, my brother in arms.
We got L. We got arms. Just okay. L.
It's
L.
Just L.
You're just the.
That's just everybody Spanish.
Gets their name
the Spanish derivative of the. Fuck.
He's just the.
The so, Neo D.
You could be the.
The X. Just cut out the Neo.
And as always, our resident, I won't call him a hater.
Thank
he just
you.
Keeps it real.
Thank you.
And
very
we
real bitter. He keeps it real bitter.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is
habitual.
Knowledge in the building.
That's funny. Right,
so my name
the smartest is man in the building.
And our special guest.
I'm not a special guest. I'm
who's not a special guest? He's family. He pops up every seems like at least once a month on the show. So you know him, you love him, you listen to him, you hear his beats.
It's the Beach.
Yo,
wow!
Everybody gives the name Chase today.
Everybody give it up for the Beach.
Shorten it down to
yo, he's Beach.
So G1, yeah. That's,
full
yeah.
disclosure, it's G1, but full disclosure, we were at G1 Supercard, and G1 kept introducing himself to people, saying, like, ironically, I'm not the G1 that this event is named after. So we were like, okay, so that we don't ever get that mixed up, we're just going to call him Beege for the weekend. So he became Beege.
I mean, some other people called him Ruben Studdard.
It's a lot of interesting.
Yes, I forgot about that.
We called you Beege, but some other people called you Ruben Studdard.
Shout out to the Japanese chick that literally snapped a picture of me and thought I was Ruben Studdard. That shit was funny.
The things that only happen in New York.
That was pretty great, man. They thought everybody got a little bit of celebrity treatment. It was fun. So, yeah, man, that was an amazing time. So, as we always do, we start off the show with the putovers. We take something outside of wrestling. We bring you. We need the putover song. I got to ask my man Nat, Nate, to maybe hook us up, or V. With like a putover song. The putover.
Whatever you want. Whatever you need.
Anyway, I guess I'll start. Mine is way off the grid as far as wrestling.
A lot of eyebrows when you brought it up pre-recording.
I know.
So
I wanted
interested.
It to be a complete surprise, but I did tell y'all just in case somebody
hot take.
Would steal it.
Hot take
I knew.
Time.
I should have known better. Nobody would ever steal this one.
Well.
I'm putting over the
do it for
famed
the hive.
Talk show host... Wendy Williams.
He's a great guy.
Now listen.
Great guy.
Listen.
I didn't even pay attention that he switched it
up. I used to give Wendy Williams a lot of grief.
I thought Wendy Williams was a man.
I used to say a lot of things that were inappropriate about Wendy
Williams.
Just
like what Neo just said. Inappropriate.
He's a great guy.
We used to make really bad jokes. I used to say, I won't even go into what I used to say.
Her hands are as big as her balls.
But the point is, Wendy has persevered and has been on TV for 10 years.
Oh, shit.
Let alone
that's monumental.
A radio personality for 10 years before that. Like, she's kind of legendary in the media, yeah. Game. Then, recently, she admitted on her show that she's been living in a sober house because she's been dealing with addiction. And she was like, she talks about everybody. She talks about everybody's business, but never gets into her own business on the show. This time, though, she kind of broke down and was like, yo, I've been living at a sober house because I slipped back into cocaine addiction. And, like, kept it all the way real.
Wow, that's like a huge step up. Like, going from maybe like a little bit of wine, something like that. But no, straight into bam, cocaine.
Yeah, because, like, she'd had a habit before. Okay. And she's from Newark, and she talked about that when Whitney Houston died. Like, she had a lot of drug problems, and she was around Whitney when she had a lot of problems, too. So, anyway, then it turns out she just recently divorced from her husband,
yeah.
Who, it turns out, was being abusive, also cheated, and had a baby on the side. Yo. And so she let him go.
Song.
But he's also executive producer on the show and her business manager.
So he's got the hand in there.
So this had to be a really hard decision. But the last couple episodes, she's been like kind of like a whole new person, like just like with this weight lifted. And I think it's like really dope to see, like, because people, especially famous people, have a hard time getting out of abusive relationships because you're like, oh, what are the media going to say? What are people going to say? So let's just stay together. And but no, she got up out of there, and I think, like, I hope that's a message to anybody that's in like any type of abusive relationships, anything, man. You don't have to stay around. Yeah, get up out of there. Don't let the business or, you know what I mean, the arrangement come in the way
or
of,
anyone's opinion
come in the way of your happiness. Like,
exactly.
That's real.
I can appreciate that because, again, it takes a certain person, no matter where they are in the public eye, to admit, like, I am not in a good situation. I am not in a healthy situation. And
you gotta get out of there.
Gotta make a change.
So, yeah, man, I give Wendy a lot of props for not only her perseverance in the game, but just like having the courage to stand up and be like, yo, enough is enough. I'm out of here.
It's time for a change.
Go chill with your baby mama. Or,
hit it up.
You know.
Thank you, Owen Hart, for that quote.
Absolutely. Shout out to Owen.
And to add to what Rand is saying, like, men, you don't have to stay in toxic relationships neither, because it's definitely a such thing. Like, we were taught in society, especially those of us who are of color, we were taught in society that we can't be vulnerable, transparent. A lot in this new society of women, a lot of times we'll tend to tear men down just for the sake of they can. And I think it's important to know that, hey, men, y'all ain't got to put up with that shit neither. We're valuable. We amount to something in this world. You know, we invented.
We are men. Hear us roar.
And, yeah, man, we should, you know, if it's some shit that you don't really need to be in and ain't no attachments, ain't no children, even if it is children, you know, there's a such thing as taking care of, you know, your kid and not really having to be bothered as long as you're doing what you're supposed to do. But you ain't got to be bothered with that chick neither. So that should go both ways.
That's real. I think it's important to always think about your health, you know, whether it's your mental health, your sanity, and do the right thing for that. So sometimes it means you got to hop up out of there. So sorry to make it all heavy on the very first 2 minutes of the podcast. So,
well, on the other hand, you had Sasha Banks cancel a Wendy Williams appearance, too.
Yes, for that, some personal
that,
issues.
That didn't have anything to do with Wendy, though.
No, it did not.
That was on Sasha.
No, she's trying to get fired from WWE.
That's a little different. But I think that was in the midst of her having issues with creative. But
okay.
But she cited personal issues.
Okay.
And canceled that appearance. But I don't know. Maybe they'll reschedule. I don't know, man. You never know with this stuff. Some stuff comes out and it just gets blown out of proportion. But we'll get into wrestling later.
Okay.
Who's putting over something that's more positive than that?
Anybody else?
Feel free to pick it up, somebody.
I mean, we all putting overs, but who's next?
Whoever wants to speak.
All right, I'm already over here, so screw it. All right, I'm putting over the Netflix original anime version of Ultraman.
3D CG anime.
Yeah, it really is. Like, it's very, the animation is really cool. It's not like stiff CG. It's really dope. Has some slight 2D elements, but one of the things that I really appreciate about it is that this isn't just like a full out reboot of the Ultraman franchise. For those of us that, you know, that came up on Ultraman, this is a continuation. The lead character is the son of Shinjo, the original.
Oh, you spoiled
Ultraman.
It.
So it's, I mean, but that's like a main plot.
Man.
That's like the obvious, what you would know from watching the trailer.
I wish I knew who it was.
So he's the son of the original Ultraman, and so trying to you know, trying to cope with the fact that, you know, he grew up not really knowing that this gigantic being who was fighting kaiju in the middle of the city was an alien combined with his father. You know, his father picked up some powers, you know, over a period of time, and unfortunately, but that stuff got passed down to his son. As his son is growing to realize that this whole science division has been kind of built around him being the next generation. So he's going through this kind of teenage crisis where he's trying to live.
He has powers.
Yeah, he has powers.
Unbeknownst to him, he has powers. And he goes through his day-to-day thinking, like, well, I'm just a freak. You know, and then all of a sudden, like, he finds out, like, these powers are meant for good.
Yeah, he's trying to, it's like a combination of him trying to live up to his father's reputation. It's like a slice of life
story.
Yeah, it really is. And it gets deeper than just, like, the fight scenes and everything. There's some really touching moments with him and his dad and with him and, you know, some of the other science division. And they do a lot of historical shout outs to the original Ultraman, just in terms of what happened to the original aliens when they tried to invade and all that. It's really dope, really well put together, really well written.
What's really cool is, I think, you know, because everything is wrestling, the first episode, Old Man Ultraman kicks the main alien in the gut and hits him with a brain buster.
He does it. He really does.
So it just goes to show you, like, hey, you like wrestling? You're going to like Ultraman also, because there's wrestling moves.
Oh, my God. So shout out to Tsuburaya.
You can catch that. You can catch that on Netflix.
That is on the Netflix. Teak, what you got?
Huh?
Yeah. What? I'm putting over it. I'm putting over the new Hellboy movie. Hellboy Blood.
Wait, have you seen it?
Yeah.
Okay, so
Blood Queen.
All right.
What's a quick teak take?
Yeah. Man, don't rush my take.
Well, first, what's
how much
what's
is your, how much y'all want to know? What's
I mean, like a rating than
the past one. Like, I would because you watched them all, right?
Is it a reboot or is it
a reboot? What's going on?
It's like a soft reboot. It's like a reimagining. Because it's like, if I feel like it take parts of both of the other Hellboy movies that Ron Perlman did, and then like put them together in this. So I guess it's a reboot because they're retelling the story over again to people who wouldn't know it if you didn't see it.
Okay.
But it's kind of like it hits some of the same beats. But check this out. This is what's crazy as hell in the movie.
All right.
Any of y'all see...
I thought I was going to show me something on the beer.
Any of y'all see which one? I think it was Transformers Dark Side of the Moon. Any of y'all see that?
The Dark of the Moon.
Unfortunately.
Was that the one where it had like King Arthur and shit in it?
No, that was... Which one was that one? The Last Night.
Any of y'all see that one?
Nah.
I saw that too, unfortunately.
No, because I like myself.
I gave up on
this. This Hellboy movie hit some of the same beats that the Transformers movie did. How would you think that King Arthur fits into the Hellboy movie? Because it did.
He probably
King Arthur, Merlin, all that shit. In the Hellboy universe.
I'm thinking Merlin might have found the demon named Hellboy and like maybe contracted Hellboy to do some of his bidding.
Nah. Can I just tell y'all?
No. Well, okay.
You can tell me. Okay. Everybody cover your ears.
So
I'm not going to watch it.
Go ahead. I would watch it for Mila Jovovich, but maybe not.
Man, she was bad in the movie, too. She's still but fire. She's the Blood Queen. She brings Merlin back to try to like trick Hellboy, but basically he tells Hellboy that King Arthur's bloodline didn't end with him. Like, bloodline's down, his daughter, blah, 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 had sex with the devil, blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. Hellboy is King Arthur's fucking...
What the hell, boy?
Distant relative...
Shout out to Merlin's daughter, fucking Satan.
On his mom's side.
Wow. That's the ultimate cat.
Yo, your boyfriend is literally Satan.
Which means so that he's the him. Only one.
That's my boo.
I love him.
Which means that he's the only one that can wield Excalibur.
So he gets Excalibur too?
Yes.
So he gets a dope-ass handgun and Excalibur.
Yes.
What the fuck?
Okay, so question. The new Hellboy is David Harbour from Stranger Things.
Yes.
Is he good? Like, is he as good as, who was that one, Ron Perlman?
Yeah.
See, is this up to par or just different?
It is. I mean, it's different. They look different, but they both, I think, play it well. Okay. Like, people are used to Ron Perlman looking like Hellboy because he literally looks like Hellboy. And he was the first incarnation that a lot of people saw Hellboy because I never read the comics.
Me too.
So
when I go back and watch Blade 2, he still looks like
Hellboy. So that's who you see as it.
Right.
But he looks more like a comic version of Hellboy. Like, he looks like, Ron Perlman looks like a real clean Hellboy. Like, this Hellboy looks like a Hellboy that's been beat up, got a lot of scars on his face. Like, he looks like a more real, more weathered, more realistic take on what you would think that somebody like that would look like.
Right.
So, I enjoyed that. The dude who played his dad in this movie was,
he looks like a straight up vampire.
Who is that? Fuck. Let me see. Pull this cast up real quick because I just want to say this dude was dope. Bottle opener, please. Oh, Ian McShane.
Use your belly button. We all are. Just put the beer in your belly button and twist it.
Mine got meth mouth, so it might not work.
You got an Audi?
It got meth mouth.
But yeah, Ian McShane played his dad in this movie, and I thought that he did a much better job than like the other dude, because the other dude was older. Ian McShane kind of came off kind of how like Alfred comes off in the new Batman movies. Okay. Like, oh, like I used to be in the army, kind of like I'm old, but I still get it in.
Okay.
Like that's how Ian McShane was in the movie, so I thought that was dope. He was like talking to Hellboy like,
looks
you
good.
Know, like suck it up, stop being a bitch type shit, you know? Like, okay. Like you're a monster and I did the best that I could with you to live a better life. Like you wasn't going to be a regular person. I turned you into a weapon because that's what you are. Gotcha. But I still feel like you're my son.
You know,
that type of shit. All so right.
I like so what would you rate it? Like out of six beers?
I mean, out of six beers, I'd probably
out of six like, bullets and
like four and a half
gun.
Like, I'd watch it again because I enjoyed it for what it was, you know?
Okay.
That's what's up.
I'll take that.
All right. Cool. That's Teak's take.
Four out of six.
The new Hellboy.
Yeah.
Rock, what you got, sir?
Yeah, I'm going to change it on you, Neil. I apologize. And Jordy took notes.
How dare ye?
How dare ye? But,
you're ruining the notes.
I am ruining the notes.
What do you mean you're going to change it? You already, steal his?
No. I should.
He can't erase
I should steal his right now.
This is all digital.
Since he stole mine, I'm actually going to put over the fact that
Rock, you got one of these.
Yeah,
come on, guys. I told you mine got mine.
Come on, guys.
Fucked up.
Get it together.
Act like you've been somewhere before, boys.
Come on, guys.
So this Friday marks the 25th anniversary. Over this Friday? Will you let me talk?
This Friday is at Mega Ranch show.
Yes, there is a Mega Ranch show, but this Friday is the 25th anniversary of the greatest album in the history of hip hop, being Illmatic. Nasir Jones. It feels like it just turned 20, like yesterday, because I remember when Illmatic, so they dropped that special release. But it's 25 on Friday. If you think about that, that's crazy.
I'm about to pop that in again.
Yeah, of course.
Still a classic. Still always. Front to back. Amazing.
Yeah. So, shouts out to Nas. Hopefully there's something new coming, because your album was supposed to have been done like 3 years ago.
He did I saw that he's coming out here with Mary J.
Yeah.
Blige.
Yeah. Yeah, he got an orchestra. Yeah, you know, I want to bury that show.
Why?
It is taking place at the Ak Chin Pavilion, which is an outdoor venue, on August the 9th.
Oh,
you tell me why I'm burying that.
But is it at night at least?
Does it matter, it's dog? It's still a whole oven outside.
Rock. Get your ass outside and sweat, man. It's the summertime in Arizona. What you expect?
Like, why are you still here, Rock?
The only way that I'm going to that show is if I buy an actual seat. I ain't doing that lawn shit. You'll die.
I'm saying I went to.
What if there's a poolside gimmick?
You wouldn't sweat for Nas.
I've seen Nas 10 times though.
I sweated to see Kanye.
This is with Mary.
I saw Mary last time she was here. She was great.
I'm just saying, it's hot out here.
That would be hot, but so they probably won't do it.
They're gonna have stuff out here, and you're gonna miss it because it's hot.
This is Rock.
Right, you're gonna miss. He don't Rock will mess it because excuse. It's hot.
I don't
like, you know what?
I talk myself out of shit all the time. Degrees,
I do it.
I know. But I feel like you're burying it and you wasn't going to go anyway. You're like, man, this shit is, you're doing this in the summer. You're just giving me more reason than not to go to something I wasn't going to go to anyway.
It is weird to do outdoor. I admit, that is weird.
He literally goes to the first red light. Says fuck it and goes home.
Like, see, look at this red light. This is not meant to be.
I don't even get in the car. What are you talking about? I didn't even get my shoes put on. What the fuck are you talking about?
Well,
he's like, I just Googled traffic. Fuck that shit.
I just Googled traffic.
It's cloudy with a chance of rain.
Nah, man. I'm good.
It's hot here, but in the summertime, it's hot everywhere. So
look, let's keep it a buck. I'm probably gonna be at that show. I'm just saying, why is it got to be outside in August? That's crazy to me.
Just get you one of those. Bury it. Get you one of those fan gimmicks that you hook on your phone.
I'm just gonna get me two scantily clad like Latinas to just fan me the whole time I'm there.
I mean, if you had it like that, then they might bring you on stage.
That'd be tight. Mm-hmm. That would be. Hopefully, tight. I wouldn't bitch up if I met Nas again.
Yeah, I feel like I don't know. I don't know how I would handle meeting Nas. I might be like, "Yo, man, that's Nas."
Yeah, and then you're Nas.
You wouldn't mark out for a bit.
You'll do what I did. You'll fucking freeze.
I wouldn't.
Yeah, I probably would.
You don't know that.
I do know.
You don't know that.
I'd be like Black Panther. I never freeze.
Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
I mean, that's what they say about Teek is one dude where
who's the most famous person?
He
will not.
He don't freeze.
Just out of curiosity, who's the most famous person you've met?
The most famous person that I've ever met.
I just want to scale.
We're gonna make this a pissing contest, boys.
No, it's not a pissing contest. You can't say you wouldn't freeze if you were
that.
You wouldn't fucking like be stunned if you were walking down the hallway and you like turn around a corner and like Obama's right there. You wouldn't be like, oh fuck.
No,
I wouldn't know what the fuck to say to Obama on first glance.
Like you heard Rand. Like this is how the situation would probably go. Like we come around the corner, I'd see Obama. I'd probably do like this. No, I'd be like, hey Rand. You see Obama over there?
that's exactly what would happen.
And then I'd be like,
go talk to him.
Hey, let's go get a photo.
For the gram.
And then,
come on, Barry.
You got to do it for the gram.
He's like,
Barry.
Act like you belong. Barry. Let's go get a photo.
Exactly.
Act like you belong.
And then I'd just be like, hey, Obama, can I holler at you for a second, man?
Holla. Let me holler at you.
Hey, Obama.
Hey, Barry, come here.
Hey, Obama.
Hey, Obama.
I'd be like, Mr. President.
Mr. President, you want to hit this weed?
I'm gonna be like, yo, obese.
Yo, obese.
Yo,
get this flick. Yo, so speaking of flick, I don't know if I told this story.
I'm still interested. I'm still interested in who's the most famous person you met, though.
Oh,
and as well, rock knowledge.
I mean, this might take a minute, but if y'all think of it, let me.
I mean, I met a lot of people, but I'm trying to think. Most of them is gonna be music or wrestling, I feel like. It might be a wrestler.
Okay.
But
I'm trying to think. When you're at WrestleCon.
I mean, I've seen
Rey Mysterio.
No, I was about to say I've seen Ric Flair several times.
Have you had a moment to talk to him?
To him, but I mean, we was right there with Bret Hart, and Rand was like, "Damn, I want to get a foot." I was like, "Okay, that's Bret Hart." That's what I'm saying. I'd just be like, I'd be like, "Hey,
like, let's get this flick, let's
get this flick, let's get these drinks."
Like, you know what though? I'll say,
if
like
somebody you respect to the foot, like a Nas. Oh, like, Nas. That's like
I met Killer Mike.
Literally meeting your hero.
Yeah. Like, and that's like a hero to me.
Killer Mike.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was at a meet and greet. Like, I sat down, talked to him, got photos, chopped it up. But still, I mean, I told him I'm saying he's not the most famous, but I'm saying, like you said, you start talking about
respect.
So I'm like, I feel like I'd probably like, and it's still not fanning out, but like want to have a conversation more with somebody that I respect more than just somebody that is like, oh, that person is a millionaire
for things that I don't care about. Like Kim Kardashian could walk in and I'd be like, all right, she's very famous, but I don't really care.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, but people like that's more grounded though. I would more want to have more of a conversation with,
because they impact you on a different level. You have a different connection to said person. I appreciate that.
That makes sense.
I appreciate that.
Now I got to think. I mean, maybe Snoop is the probably most famous person I met. And I was on stage when it happened. So, like, at South By, we were doing a show.
What up, nephew?
And I just saw Snoop. I was like, yo.
Hey, little Mega Ran.
OG. And he was like, sup, nephew?
Hey, little Mega Ran. Let me holler at you real quick, Mega Ran.
Yeah, you want to know what's crazy? Since we went to go saw him yesterday, it might have been Hannibal.
Yeah.
Because he's in movies. So he might be the most famous person that I've met. Mm-hmm. Because like you said, he's been in blockbuster white comedies. So.
Straight up.
How'd that go?
Yeah.
It was in New Orleans when I met
know.
Him.
I don't know if he's that famous, though.
I don't think he's that famous. MC Burger Feet.
Let me tell you why. Outside of like folks like us, how many people outside of
white
like,
people?
Yeah, no Hannibal.
White
like,
people.
Like really know Hannibal. Like really know him.
Again, white people.
I don't know his audience enough.
He's like the fifth billing in every a lot of big comedies.
But it doesn't matter though. He was on Broad City. He's a recurring character on that, which is a that's white true. Show that's about white show. Jewish women.
I know what Broad City is. I've seen it.
Even in his stand-up, he said I'm middle. What did he say? I'm middle famous.
Yeah,
like
he's a I'd agree with that.
Which is what Rock is saying.
No, but I'm saying, but there's people who don't know who Ric Flair is.
He's like the U.S.
So why would
He's the U.S. title.
What, he's mid-card?
Way to bring it back to wrestling. He's mid-card.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
He's top of the mid-card.
I've spoken to people who don't know who Ric Flair is. Okay. So if you don't know who Ric Flair is, you might still know who Hannibal is because he's been in the movie.
Everyone knows who Hulk Hogan is. You don't have to be in the wrestling at all. You know what I'm saying? Or The Rock.
Like that's true.
Right. So, but I know Hannibal's black people there. Who don't know who Hannibal is, but a lot of white people know who he is.
Let's not forget.
White famous is different.
Triple H's great performance in Blade Trinity. Come on, man. I just watched that over the weekend.
Hold on. And Hannibal was in Baywatch. He was in Baywatch with The Rock. He was just Baywatch in Tag.
That is such a fucking good movie, though. It's fucking hilarious, it's actually good. It's hilarious.
But it was not like a blockbuster.
I've
seen Baywatch like 10 times. That shit, you can put that shit on at home, and it's funny. Good.
There's dicks funny. In that movie, though. You gotta be careful.
Who's
Dick? But wait, it's dicks in the movie.
Who's Dick?
There's dicks in that movie.
Oh, I thought you said his dick, like Hannibal.
No, I said dicks. Plural.
What the fuck are we talking
about? Why did you bring that
why
up?
Why would you put that at home? That was casually.
Why did you bring that up?
Because The Rock keep calling, Zac Efron every white boy band that there is.
Yes.
And that shit is hilarious.
There's minimum like four like potential snacks of the week in that movie, too. That's true. And you're talking about dicks?
Yes.
Come on, Neo.
I'm thinking
those are snacks to Neo.
Oh.
He's gonna run a train on those chicken fingers.
Oh.
How dare you.
Oh. Neo, move it on. Neo, put over.
So, one funny thing that Hannibal said, he was like, yo, I'm so like middle of the road famous that people can come up to me and be like, yo, are you Hannibal Buress? And I can say, nah, I'm not. And they'll be like, oh, my bad, man. He's like, The Rock can't do that. Like,
right, he actually talked about that. He said, you'll be like, hey, The Rock. And be like, nah. I'd be like, yo, you The Rock. Fuck you, The Rock.
And that quote, fuck
Dwayne,
you.
You better stop playing, Dwayne.
He kept saying The Rock. He said, fuck you, The Rock. I know that's you, The Rock.
It's true. Like, it's like, and so he makes that same joke. Like, yeah, he's not super famous. But to the point where
there's there's levels to fame.
Oh yeah,
I haven't met nobody else in movies.
Probably the biggest,
and I would, you know,
John Cena.
The more I think about it, I would almost prefer to be like middle famous instead of like mega star, like super famous.
Hell yeah,
middle of the road. You can still go to Fry's at like 10:30 on a Tuesday night and buy your groceries, and no one's gonna fuck with you.
Middle of the road famous, you can still fuck some breezies in the city. And just go about your business without worrying about it getting all out there like that.
News.
Exactly.
Yeah. They know what's checking for you.
Hannibal out there wilding.
You famous, famous. They taking pictures of you while you sleep. And that's posting true. That shit on the ground.
Yo, Justin Bieber thing?
What'd he do?
Like, a year ago, he ran down a paparazzi dude by accident. Like, he was in a big truck.
Yeah.
And he jumped in it, and the dude was trying to snap pictures.
Uh-huh.
And Justin Bieber pulled off and ran the dude over. And, like, the dude got hurt, so Justin got out the car and made sure he was okay. Like, that's the kind of stuff if you mega famous. Oh, like,
dang, I didn't hear about that.
You can't get away. Like, now the dude's about to sue him.
No, of
like
course.
A year later. He like, yeah, I'm about to get this check.
Yeah, but anyway. People done talked about that all the time. I've heard Eminem talk about shit like that. It's like, when you're famous like that, like you said, like, you can't go to Target. Like, you can't go to Walmart.
But here's the question, though.
You can go through a drive-thru, maybe.
About that, but it's like, when you sell 100 million records like Eminem, like, is that the price of fame? Is it just like, look, man, be happy with this is what you got?
That is your price of fame.
It is, but
I guess on the flip side, though, you can always order your groceries and order everything off Amazon and never leave the house.
Leave your house, ever.
You could, but I would also say, I guess it depends on what dog.
You can have your own park and dog park in the backyard.
I think it depends on what age fame came.
Yeah.
Because look at Ran. Like, Ran's older, so if he was to get famous now, you've been a regular person longer than you would have been famous.
Correct.
So I think not being able to go do shit that you would normally do.
Rand's famous?
Would eventually, he's popular.
But regular enough to come and do this podcast.
In some places, I'm very famous. Okay. Right. I go to MagFest, I can't walk two steps without somebody.
See, look at that. And how you like that? You
don't. I hate it.
Like, step back, y'all stepping on my dick,
man. I really gotta go. I gotta go to the bathroom right now. I just run off.
And I was telling somebody, you were talking about ordering groceries, and I actually had this conversation with somebody yesterday that I said, if you were in the middle of making something and you realize you don't have something, it's much quicker for you to go get what you're missing than to order it, and it's going to take several hours.
It's much quicker to me to say, fuck it, I'm just going to order pad thai.
That's you, but I'm saying, what if Rand needs something right now, and he's like, damn, I gotta wait for somebody to go do this for me. I can't just go do it myself, even though I would normally do it myself.
I can't just go to Fry's.
But now I'm gonna get mauled.
If you're in the middle of something, I mean, that's gonna get fucked up there anyway, right?
Nah.
If you're baking something,
you need one more ingredient.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
And you're in the middle of
what if you're in the middle of making some peach cobbler and you need some cinnamon, you need some nutmeg or something.
Man, I ran out of cinnamon. What do you got?
That's a wild situation where Rand's making peach cobbler. That's a wild situation.
Very, very random.
I make peach cobbler on Thanksgiving. I can't run
that. You make that shit?
Yes, I make it. Shit, hey. From scratch.
Hey, hey, hey.
And you telling me I can't run to the fries and grab a can of
condensed milk? No.
No. Or some I was about to say cranberry sauce.
We gotta move into wrestling.
Yeah, go ahead.
Put over your shit.
Let's get these putovers popping. Who's the last one?
Put it over, Dave.
We're 30 minutes in. We're talking about
Come on, L.
Baking
we
needs.
We went way too far. L with the putover.
All right. You're in Spanish.
So I'm going to put over.
Spanish announcer voice.
El Nizi.
El Nizi.
Real talk. Sorry to cut you off. I had a dream that they changed Kofi's name to just Kofi.
Jesus Christ.
I had a real dream that that happened.
Is that not his name?
Shoot. Not Kofi Kingston, but just Kofi.
No, I'm saying they still refer to him as Kofi Kingston. They haven't shorted him yet?
Yes.
They still do.
The funny thing
they
is,
they took his middle name from him.
What was his middle name?
He had a middle name?
Y'all don't remember?
What are you talking about? What did he have a middle name?
Yeah, he was using his actual middle name. His middle name is African, and at one time he had three names. It was Kofi, whatever his middle name is, Kingston.
Are you sure?
Yeah, look it up.
Were you high?
Nah.
But you don't know what the name was.
I'm drunk.
I can Google it. Damn. I'm just letting you know.
I don't remember hearing the name.
Okay. After my putover, I will Google that shit.
We'll get back to that.
Go ahead, Neo.
So on Hulu, there's this show that Rock and I have been watching, apparently.
Putover Stealer.
Called The Act.
The Act! Who's in The Act?
So The Act is a show. It's a real-life show.
One of the Arquette
sisters. Or not real-life show, I'm sorry. It was based on true events, but it was made for TV. So mom, Dee Dee Blanchard, overprotective of her daughter, Gypsy. There's like lots of scheming, lots of identity issues. Which ultimately leads to some really fucked up shit. So it's a very dark, ominous, like thriller type of show. So
it's not comedy. This is kind
of
dark.
Not very comedic. Very dark. Again, lots of character development.
Killing?
Something like that. Yeah, that too. But not to give it all away. But I definitely recommend it. It's on Hulu. I think it's like a 6-episode arc or something like that. And again, you get to learn about. Like a dramatization of real life events, and then after you watch the show, I believe there's also a documentary on HBO, which goes into like the events that transpired, which I don't know the name of. I'm sorry, but use your Googles, and yeah, you can kind of piece everything together.
So your Googles.
I really do appreciate that.
That's what's up.
So The Act on Hulu.
I'm going to check it out. Speaking of Hulu, I just found out today that I'm about to save $8.
Double put over.
Spotify Premium gives you free Hulu.
But for only 30 days,
but it's the trash
Hulu. No, it's with the commercials.
It's the trash Hulu. That's the jug. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you can't like pay like a few bucks extra to get the good Hulu.
Oh, they don't even let you.
I thought that was
only but
30
I just
days.
Heard something about
but
like
still
if you save got
$8 if you use regular.
Oh yeah.
Is it true that if you got T-Mobile, you get Netflix for free? Somebody was telling me
that's
that.
The rumor.
So I got T-Mobile. Crazy. I haven't done that yet. What do I got to do to
you
get
have to
that?
Have like the OnePlus plan? I think.
Is that when you got more than one phone plan?
I don't know.
My plan got three phones
basically,
on it.
Here's how it goes. So
let's do that on the mic.
Basically,
like if you have the plus plan,
hold on. He's telling you.
He's going to tell us how it works.
Not the phone portion, but just the subscription portion. If it's regular Netflix, like the regular $7.99 or whatever it is subscription, then yeah, that's just part of your bill, and you'll never see a Netflix bill. If you're like me and you got like the four screens. Four different screens per month situation, which is normally like $11.99, then I think you only pay like $1 for Netflix. I pay like maybe $1 or $2 for Netflix every month.
Oh man, so I'm gonna have to get on that.
It's really kind of convenient, man, and it's something I think Neo will go into the more technical side of it as far as how the subscriptions work.
I will not.
Yeah, we don't need that information.
Yeah, I don't think not. We need that. Let's talk wrestling.
We need to talk some superstar shakeup. Goddammit.
All right. Shake it up.
I got all the superstar shakeup going in front of me.
All right, so let's talk about it. Neo, read me Raw, and then G1, give me SmackDown. What's popping?
Did they condense Tucker's name to Tucker? Just Tucker? It's instead Tucker. Of Tucker Knight?
Ain't
it's
no
Tucker?
Last names no more.
Ugh.
Okay. Give it to us, L.
So
just the important ones.
On Raw, you have Styles, Miz, Rick, Black, Eric.
Rick who?
Avar. Ricochet.
Oh. Sorry, I didn't know y'all were that close.
Andrade, Zelina, Rey, both Usos, Naomi, EC3 for some reason, Miss Lacey Evans, Eric Young, and Seti said.
City said.
Yeah.
My new cousin.
So who you got on the Blue Brands? Ugh.
All right. And so on good old SmackDown, the Blue Brand, we got the big dog, Roman Reigns. We got the Intercontinental Champion.
Hoorah!
Shake it up.
Intercontinental Champion, Finn Balor. You got what WWE stands for, which is Walk with Elias. You got Bayley. You got Ember Moon, a personal favorite of mine. You got the Pirate Princess, Kairi Sane.
The Pirate.
All right.
You got Lars Sullivan. That's a big boy.
Lars.
You got one of my favorite cruiserweights, Buddy Murphy, former cruiserweight champion. You got Liv Morgan. You got Chad Gable. You got my man Apollo Crews. You got the self-proclaimed MILF of WWE, Mickie James. Mm-hmm. Monday Night MILF, as she likes to call herself.
Yeah, no, Mickie.
Tuesday Night MILF.
That,
and Otis and Tucker of the group Heavy Machinery.
Ah, stinks and waste.
So then where's the Viking?
I mean, they were already on there, so why'd you...
Oh, yeah, the stupid Viking experience.
Oh, we didn't talk about the Viking experience.
So like, they're not on this list. No,
they're on Raw, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, they're on SmackDown. They Eric and Avar.
Avar on...
yeah, they gave them names.
I had to do a double take. My bad.
So they have names, but...
They're trash.
It's the general consensus that... on the entire internet, that the Viking experience did not test well with this focus group.
It did not.
I mean, it sounds like a 3D ride.
Right. This sounds like a ride or a vacation package.
Right. Universal Studios. You want the Viking experience?
It's like DLC for The Sims.
Sounds like the motto for the 2019 Viking season.
Yo, that's perfect. DLC for The Sims.
Oh,
you want the Viking experience?
Download
Yo,
now.
Ho, ho.
I wonder whose idea that. Now. I wonder whose idea that was backstage. Let's call them the Viking Experience.
I don't know.
Damn it! I don't love War Raiders. We don't like the War Raiders.
They can't call. Probably. They I think somebody said they didn't want war on primetime.
Get the fuck out of here.
They can't use Raiders, I guess, right? Because of sports.
No, because the same thing. It's just still pillaging.
But why the experience? That's like saying
because
like,
people like to experience things.
Good answer.
I liked it even more when they said
thank you.
Now that it's explained.
I appreciate your job at WWE TV.
Do you feel better about it now, Neil?
Hey, fuck off. I mean, somebody yesterday told me that I should apply to work at WWE. So.
You should.
Oh, my wife.
They're hiring for story continuity experts. I'm sure that Rock or Teak could
they should just hire the Matt Mania podcast to write all their shows going forward.
We do some pretty hot takes.
Rock would fire everyone Asian.
I would not.
Let's just get Zealot Pro Wrestling to hire us.
That's a horrible narrative you're trying to paint about me.
It's a very almost true narrative.
That's a
though.
Horrible narrative.
Name me one Asian.
Okay. Huh? Day one. Kairi, Asuka, fire.
Tajiri.
Tajiri,
okay,
man.
Tajiri's dope.
Wow. Why you act like I don't like Asian people? That's terrible, man.
Sorry, Asian women wrestlers. I'll be specific.
No, man.
Name me one.
Name me one.
I don't like this narrative. I really don't.
You still ain't named one in the whole time.
What are you talking about? Trashka?
The truth hurts.
The Sky Pirate? The Sky Pirate's friend?
Hey, thank you.
Hideo Itami?
Yo, I think we need to get like...
Itami's dope.
We need to get like...
He's gone.
Tanahashi?
Tanahashi?
Jackie Chan?
He's great.
What was the dude's name who tried... Kaientai?
Oh, yeah, Kaientai.
First man, ever come on. Light heavyweight.
It's a shit narrative.
Right. And when I saw Val, I didn't even ask him how his penis was.
That's continuity.
That's weird.
We would pull back a 15-year-old storyline and be like, well, it's still hurting.
Hasn't healed yet,
bud. That's why I'm smoking all this weed.
He's like, I got it in this jar wrapped around my neck.
So I kind of feel like SmackDown.
Who won?
SmackDown.
Yes. And SmackDown is the new A-show.
And I think the fact that they're going to Fox later this year
Raw's looking pretty
is
heavy.
The catalyst for that, which is why
all
you're
right,
seeing Roman
down,
Reigns.
Though. Roman, of course, gives SmackDown a lot of power.
Of course.
Finn, hugely over. But I think that's a wash with AJ,
okay.
To be honest. If you lose AJ
and remember,
Finn,
this,
it's a wash.
Remember,
wait,
this
hold on,
list,
hold on, hold on.
But remember, this list that we just stated off is just who's – made the jump to the different
yeah,
brands
but this,
as well.
This is good. This is a good conversation.
Remember
this
that
is what I want
to
do.
You know, Seth is still there. You know, Samoa Joe.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, Joe's going to Raw.
Yeah,
Joe
but as
moved,
far as
I think, or it's implied that he's moved.
But Joe's going to Raw.
But as far as the people who we do know who have changed over, like he was saying.
Yeah.
So you're saying like
who got the better end?
Did you say that AJ for Finn or AJ for Roman? because Roman went to SmackDown and AJ.
So I think Roman is the biggest name, period, that moved. There's nobody bigger than Roman.
Roman's
that moved.
The big move, no question. I think the rest of them even out.
Yeah, but AJ is the biggest move from SmackDown.
Correct.
He's probably the biggest loss.
And AJ doesn't. Roman's bigger than AJ. I admit that.
And Finn but slides right into that
though, slot. Second guy who came over was The Miz. I think AJ and Miz combined is like a Roman.
That's for me. That's a pretty heavy Megazord. Yeah.
But I'm also thinking is though, but think of the matches that you can get or make with the changes, like. Who's a good match that you want to see with Roman?
AJ Seth. No,
you know what
I was saying, Roman on SmackDown. Of course, AJ going to Raw. You want to see AJ Seth. I even want to see AJ Drew McIntyre.
Yep.
Like there's matches that you're like, oh man, these people over here, I can see great matches.
I kind of wish they wouldn't have moved Roman because I wanted to see Roman and the Usos like team up. And
yeah, but then what happened on SmackDown? You saw Roman and Elias, two people fight who both just came over from Raw. You didn't even get to see Roman come and.
Yeah, like matchup wise, Roman. There's nobody for Roman to match up with.
Right.
On
so you think about that.
He's gonna run through Elias. Who else?
Who they still got over there?
Let's break this down right here. Has Roman been the
and
most?
Then eventually, Kofi.
I mean, has Roman been the most? Like, I guess worker class. Has he been the most work efficient? Like in his you know ring style.
Before Roman had cancer, moves? Roman was the big dog. Roman fought every night.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Roman
so yes, he was the night. He was I mean, the attraction. He fought every night.
Every night with his four moves.
Yeah,
that's what I'm getting at.
But
so like him going up against,
I will take your Roman Reigns slam. Not right now.
But I'm saying, like Rock said, because I'm kind of on that boat where he only has four moves.
So does
we
everybody.
Haven't really seen.
They all have four moves.
We haven't really seen like a real top notch performance from Roman. So do you think
what when since when?
So do you think he's going to get it on SmackDown?
What is this slander I'm hearing here? Now Roman's garbage. He can't wrestle.
Didn't say that.
What? Come on.
After we were just talking, I think maybe like Roman and Randy Orton. That'll probably be a good match.
I think Roman and Daniel Bryan got it on the last time they fought. I don't know if you remember. This is a long time ago. Long time. It was like years and years ago on Raw.
Nope.
They had a match. So if that becomes a program, that would be dope.
So again, because he hasn't been the most known for all of his, I mean, like I said, he works every day. But again, he has, you know, handful of moves.
Yeah, but you keep saying that, but what else does Randy Orton have? He's true. Other than the RKO, what does he have? I know he's got more moves than I can name them.
He's got great psychology. I'll say that. Randy can really, you know, put a match together.
Well, okay, so I think the point you're trying to make is that Roman coming over is not a big move.
You really just changed your argument.
Didn't say that. Didn't say that at all.
You changed your argument.
Didn't say that at all.
Please tell me what you
are. I am asking, do you think he's going to get next level performances on SmackDown?
Like 5-star matches?
Like, just better matches than normal.
Just better matches.
Better than normal, yes.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
I think
thank
so.
You.
Because he doesn't have the Shield to hold him back, that same old Shield storyline. Like, I think
thank
he can do new fresh stuff.
That's all I'm saying. You guys were ripping it apart, making your own narratives.
No,
guys,
no, sir. No. I asked you a question because you said four moves.
You said
and then when I asked you about Randy Orton,
going
you said,
off of what Rock
you said
was saying,
Randy Orton
because he doesn't
psychology.
Have four moves.
I know, but
Randy
I asked
does
you a
have psychology.
What does that have to do with moves?
Well, he can actually build a match.
No, you changed the argument.
So, but Roman can't really build a match, you know,
but if
when it comes to psychology as
well. Nobody said that. You said four moves, and I said, what moves does Randy Orton
when
have?
When you brought moves, right I was saying about right psychology.
No, I brought up moves because you said he's got four moves.
Yeah.
I said he's got four moves.
And then he agreed. Rock but I'm talking to Neo.
All right. I started
if
this.
I was talking to you and I said Randy Orton's got four moves too, what would you say?
Q, boo, a cheer right now.
Right.
Would you agree?
He has four moves? So,
if I, yeah.
So
does Finn. So does Seth. Yeah. So does AJ.
When is Finn gonna?
He's got the apron.
But
DDT.
They only have to use
he's got the stump. He's got to throw you on the table and not give a fuck.
When is Finn gonna retire?
What other moves does he have? Yeah. What he used to do to the Saints? Like,
yeah, the toss on the table.
Like, and the RKO.
So, if that question was, do we get more like better matches?
Do we get better quality matches on SmackDown?
I don't think we get better quality moments from him because he doesn't have the better quality opponents on SmackDown. I feel like there's a lot of small people on SmackDown compared to Roman, which means he's just going to run through people, and he already had the rocket on his back anyway, so it's just going to be a continuation of what he was doing on Raw.
That shit,
I wonder if they finally give Cesaro a solo push. He deserves it.
The bar is not on this list, so they haven't talked about them yet.
But Cesaro was on SmackDown.
But he had a match.
Yeah, on
but
he, oh, Solo?
Yeah. Ooh, well, he had a tag team match, but not with Sheamus.
Because I've heard there's been talks so of a, there's been talks of a Cesaro. Because I think Cesaro deserves a push.
He's been ready.
I mean,
they basically
tagged him with Shinsuke and Rusev.
They basically made like another
Roman
United Nations.
They're so lazy with these bookings. They're like, oh, let's put the foreigners together. Let's put the Asian women together. Let's put
What did he call himself? Because that was awesome. SmackDown when Kevin Owens did he call himself
the Big O?
So what do you think's happening with that Kevin Owens full face? Are you guys okay with this?
I don't like.
Oh, Kevin Owens is there, so you got. Well, he's a face though, so him and Roman probably wouldn't happen. Not right.
Well,
away.
And then
I think KO walks that line though, because I was waiting for KO to turn on Kofi.
You're right. He could flip it.
Throw the pancakes back in their face or some shit.
I think KO walks that line.
What do you think about a KO Kofi program? Would you be interested? Might be some good matches.
Do you think they're trying to do that? That's why they're trying to keep them close to the New Day for a turn.
I think this is a placeholder till Big E comes back, and then they figure out what to do at that point.
Okay.
Do they? Oh, if Big E comes back and goes heel,
that's what everybody's thinking. I don't know. I don't think so.
It's gonna happen. At some point, we all got to be ready for the fact that New Day is gonna get broken up at some point.
Not right now, though.
Why does it have to be now?
Do you think that the New Day would ask for their release before they break up on TV?
Depends on the storyline and circumstance.
They're going to work themselves into the shoot?
I think,
no.
Right.
I think ultimately,
if Big E is just like, yo, if you want me to come back and turn on my brothers, I'm not coming back.
But the thing is, Big E said it before. Like, if your plans aren't to be the champion, then why are you in this business? So I think ultimately there could be a program
Big
where.
Big E said that?
Yeah. He quoted it.
A lot of them say that because it's a quote from Steve Austin.
Right.
Well, Kofi said
Xavier
if he had
Woods
to lose the title,
said,
he's not
no,
coming
I'm
in.
I'm here to Kofi, forget Kofi a championship.
Right, but we're talking about Big E.
Okay.
So if he quoted Stone Cold on that one, you know, it kind of does
like
make
sense. Everybody wants a championship.
Yeah, everybody wants a championship. I think everyone should be, you know, have the opportunity to become said champion and create some good story out of it.
But if it turns them heel, like.
If you quote him Stone Cold, does that mean that you're coming from the school of don't trust anybody?
Well, it's coming from fact that, you know, when Big E quoted Stone Cold, I mean, it makes a good point. Like, if you don't want to be the champion, then why are you here?
Why do you want
to
do it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I
like, unless you want to play second fiddle all your fucking career.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't get it.
I get it
when it comes
to
wrestling.
I'm saying if you quote in heels, do you got a heel attitude?
Stone Cold's a heel now?
No, but he's a don't trust anybody individual.
That's true.
So that means.
Where's this coming from?
That means can you not trust Big E?
Everybody got to. I think everybody wants to win a championship.
Are you feeling attacked right now or something?
Yeah.
Why are you feeling attacked?
I don't know.
He's looking me dead ass in the
eye.
Because you're right across from me.
That makes true.
Jesus. You're like, oh, yeah, I am right across.
Fucking Dave. Moving on.
Why are you feeling so paranoid?
Jesus.
All right, let's move
forward. So far, we're like 2 for 2.
Yo, speaking of the New Day, we got to tell this story. Wait, exclusives. We got to tell this story real quick. I have to tell the story. That's part of the reason why G1's here.
Yes, sir.
I didn't get a chance to tell this story because
it was under wraps.
I honestly had to keep it under wraps, so I kept it very small, close to the vest. I didn't even tell y'all.
He did.
I didn't know about it.
I had to kayfabe my own.
I heard
crew.
Him say something about it out there, and I was like, "Wait!" I was like, "You got?" He's telling the story, but I'm like, "Dude, I didn't know about this. What's
going
on?"
Right. It was all kind of. It was because one, I didn't believe it was going to happen, so I was just like, "I ain't gonna say nothing."
Yeah.
So this is what happens, and I didn't want to count them chickens before they hatched or jinx it or anything like that. So one day I get a call from Xavier, and he's like, "Yo, I think this is gonna happen. I think the Kofi thing is gonna happen." And this is like maybe 3 weeks before Mania, maybe a month before. And he's like, "Yo, but what we want to do is we want to have new music." And I was like, "Oh snap. Why are you talking to me about it?" And he was like, "Well, we want to get you involved.
Because you're good.
We also want to get Wale involved, and we want to make this happen. So, do you know anybody that could like hook up a dope beat?" And I was like, "Well, actually, my guy G1, very talented individual. I'm going to see if he can pull it off." G1 sits down, works on a beat. They love it. But they're like, "Oh, just a couple of tweaks." And then they do another one.
Funny, this is what you said was more important that he was working on, huh? When we was talking.
Right. Yeah.
I thought you was working on something more important.
Yeah. So he had this like project, and he put together a dope beat. They had a perfect idea what they wanted. They were like, "Yo, make it like, you know, kind of tropical, kind of African warrior feel to it." and we're all going to come out like warriors, you know, and like kind of maybe sort of Black Panther-esque, but, you know, something real dope.
Well, what was your mindset, G1, when you were putting together the beat?
G1, when you get the call, what's going through your head?
Yeah, like what did you draw for inspiration based on, you know how they described it? Like, what was your main thoughts on making said beat?
Absolutely. Well, to go off of what Rand was saying, they wanted like a mixture. I know one of the inspirations that they cited was "Ali Boumbaye" by Game. And that would
love that song.
One of my favorite tracks. Shout out to Black Metaphor who produced that record. So that with a little bit of like just some African influential type, you know. And honestly, I never really have a thought process at all when I make tracks. But at this one time, I was like, you know what? I know what Kofi's getting himself into. This needs to be war ready, you know, kind of like you said, and a couple of people on Twitter that I told, I'm like, nah, there was no pancakes and no unicorns and mm-hmm. this is like straight up, we come and wreck shit, you know what I'm saying, type track. And I did it. And even every time I listen back to it, I'm just like, yo, if he had came out to this on Mania, the roof would have blown off that motherfucker. And also shout out to Mosley. We bumped into him in New York by the time I got there, and he actually showed us the conceptual designs for what would have been the outfits that they were coming out to. When I tell you, this was literally finna be like some Wakanda level war ready, like it's on and popping like Orville Redenbacher type shit. So that's why I was that way.
Yo, when this Monday I pulled up on G1, he let me hear the track because I hadn't heard it
yet. Oh, you heard it?
Yeah.
I got a chance to hear it. I'll probably play a little bit for the patrons later. So if you have not paid that money, do that because you got an exclusive coming.
And the Wale verse on it. The Wale verse on it was dope. The beat was dope too. I could have saw them coming out doing some tribal dances.
Right.
Coming out to the ring.
Much more serious thing.
But they would have needed more people, not just them. Like they would have needed a tribe of people to come out first.
Kids, then they're gonna have like women, and then they're gonna have like men,
yeah, like dancing.
So
it would
have been like 20 people probably total,
almost like
away and let Kofi come through, and
almost like the Love Lockdown video, if y'all remember that. Kanye West.
Okay,
that's a good callback.
That's a good.
Would that have been bad for you if that song would have happened? Would that have been bad for you?
So here's the thing. That's another part of it, because I told him on the phone. I was like, yo, I don't know if I can really get involved with this, because as you guys know, I had ROH, you know, G1 supercar business. And I was like, yo, I can't jeopardize my relationship for it, you know. But I was like, this would be the one time that something comes through
right.
where I can't actually be a part of it. So he was like, all right, well, what I'm going to do is just go to them and say, let's just put Wale on it. Like, so if it actually happens, it'll just be Wale. And I'm like, oh, so I can't rap on it.
But and, let me ask you a question, though. Wouldn't you just had not been able to rap on it at Mania if they came out?
Yeah, I would definitely wouldn't have been able to appear on TV.
Oh, no, and you wouldn't even been able to come out with them?
No question.
Oh, that would have been a total
that's a breach of contract.
Yeah, that would have been a loss, Dan. If they would have
got that money.
Nah, Rand could have just put a mask on or something. And then he could have just told people like
later. Like an African warrior mask?
Later, that's me.
Like, that's me. That's me right there.
I even talked to them. I was like, yo, let me just be on the recorded version and then nobody.
Yeah, no, that's what I was about to tell you. Like, if he's just bringing them out and performing, then when the WWE put the song out later, then you're on it.
So they were like, nah, we only got clearance for them. Sorry, man, sorry. Because I guess once I told them that, as I was honest. So once I told them that, they were like, oh, well, let's stay away from it.
Damn, man, he threw you the oop, G1. So, it was just you and Wale.
I mean, it was going to be G1 production with Wale's verse. And honestly, full disclosure, I mean, the track came to me. I got it in my email. I was like, oh, snap, this is about to happen. I drove to G1's crib. I was like, nah, I can't tell him this over the phone. I got to pull up.
So dang, we wow, pulled look up. At that.
I played the record for him. He was just like,
no.
All right, I gotta let him experience that.
He pulled the Opti Wop. Mind you, this was on like the 9th revision of the fucking arrangement of the track.
Yeah.
After 9 revisions, I didn't knock this joint out the ballpark. Kofi didn't send me vocals from his mom from like a vocal recording that he did or whatever. And I put that in the track and then sent it to Rand. He sent it to them. Rand was like, yo, they love it. It's dope. It's great. I'm like, oh, finally. He like, yo, but there's one more thing. I'm like, fuck. But I'm like, okay, come on. Let's rock. He like, you know what? I can show you better than I can tell you. You at the crib, I'm going to pull up. Mind you, me and my wife had fascinations down the street.
Gross.
Straight up. Hey, I'm married. Fuck y'all. So, so, you know, I'm like, hey, we'll be back at the crib in like 10 minutes, whatever. So, okay, so we meet up back at the crib. And he like, okay, here's the joint. Here's what they want you to do. He sent it to me. I played it on my computer out of my monitors. And I hear, you know, Mr. Falarn. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm finna grab a drink. I'm finna get a drink. I didn't have no type of facial expression. I had no feeling at that point. I'm just like, yeah, let me get a drink.
I was trying to pop him. Like, I wanted to see if he was gonna cry or something, but he didn't cry. He was just like, yo, man.
I'm finna drink.
I'm gonna go get a drink.
I'm finna drink.
So,
Did you get the...
Oh, we all had a drink.
No. When you went to go get the drink, did you get the one tear that rolled down your eye?
Like Denzel maybe.
With a tear in my eye.
Like Denzel on Glory, just one tear.
Yeah, maybe, but I wiped that bitch off.
Right, you wiped it off before you came out the kitchen.
He went and came back. All right, I'm good. So at this point, I'm thinking it's ready to go. It must be. But what happened is while they rapped on the first draft, and that's when I thought, interesting. Why didn't they give him the ninth draft? Because y'all wanted us to do nine drafts.
Really, it was like the fifth.
So he rapped on like the fifth draft, maybe. Mm-hmm. Ninth draft was fire. So. Here I go. I think it's about to happen. Yeah, of the beat. Because, like, originally, when G1 sent it to me, I put in some, I forget the dialect that that his family speaks in Ghana. Uh-huh. And I found a recording of some, like, some tutorials on how to say certain words. So I put in a little sample of that, and I sent it to him. And he was like, yo, that's great. Let me get my mom to do it. And then so he got his mom to call and send a vocal.
That's fire.
And it was so good. It's basically her saying, like, I'm proud of you. It's time for you to go and, like, to go and achieve your greatness or something like that.
Go wreck shit, baby.
And it was so good. And but Wally didn't rap on that version. So anyway, we get the verse. It sounds great. And I'm like, oh, I guess we good to go. And then Xavier's like, yo, I just got to run it past one more person. We know who that person is. And then get the okay. I'll let you know on Tuesday, SmackDown Day.
And then long story short, we literally had no chance.
Vince comes in.
The famous Vince words.
What are these drums?
I don't get it. What happened? Hallelujah. No. Hey, Rocks. What happened to that? I love that. Dancing and pancakes. Yeah.
I don't know if that's how it went.
Like,
if you want that draft, I do have Mega.
That sounds like
what happened to the dancing? How you can't get jiggy to this? Maybe that's what he said.
Oh, my God.
But anyway, I don't know. But the point is, he didn't get it. And honestly, his number one reason for it, I get it. He was like, yo, they know that song, the old song. They don't know this new song. When they hear the new song, they're going to take a minute. But if they hear the old song, right out the bat, they're going to pop. They're going to go crazy. So that was his thing. Is like, you're not going to get the initial reaction, the explosion of you coming out.
Well, yeah. That's why we got a new song. I do agree with Neo. That's why it would have been a better time for them to use your song, your New Day remix, the original one, because that would have been like, at the big matches when Shinsuke come out, but he's got the dude on the violin playing him out. Or Ronda coming out and the girl Joan Jett is doing a song.
It's
a song that they already know, just amplified by now a live performance. So it would have been better to be.
I think they've been trying. It's a big thing. Big E and Wale are super tight. And me and Xavier are pretty tight.
Right.
So I think it was like, yo, I want to get all the homies on this track. You know what I'm saying? I think that's a lot of it. It was like, I want to try to put on for everybody.
For the homies.
So if anything, for the homies.
No, but
so if anything, again, if I'd have did my old my version, maybe they'd have put a Wale verse on that.
Or whoever, you know. I just feel like for that moment, like you don't get moments like these again. So I'm saying, like, in my book, if I would have been writing for it, maybe on Tuesday they would have came out with the new song. Mm. The new music, because that's more of a celebration type song. Because I heard the beat. So then them
that's
coming
a good point.
Out on Tuesday with that,
and
then bringing out the people in tribal clothes or something, that would have been
as
more
a
of like
ceremony.
kind of like what they did when Gender won the fucking title.
That's what I'm saying. That would have been more celebratory. But at WrestleMania, definitely go
use
with what
the
they
old
know
music
because that's going to get the pop.
Yeah, I get it. I hope one day they'll revisit or something. The good news is I was able to get my man a check for his work, so. They were like,
make sure you
man.
Take a picture of it when you get it so we can see it says from WWE.
No, from Vince McMahon.
Signed from Vince K. McMahon. No, but
The best part about it is that it's like, yo, they were very adamant about that. Like, yo, we want you to get paid for your time and your work. So, and we enjoy it. And they got to have some FaceTime at, you know, out in New York. I was like, yo, I want y'all to meet the guy who did the track. Like, I'm very proud of him. I love his work.
Yeah, I remember. And I said that was funny to G1 later because we ran into Biggie outside. And yeah. I'm like, oh, you already been working on this stuff. I was like, this dude tweeted you when we came back. And he probably don't even know that that was you that was talking to him outside, that he didn't tweet it that you did this beat. Because
probably.
You
know, but we had a moment inside,
yeah,
too.
Like he knew that was
Shout out to E, because he gave us two wristbands to get into the party. So he was the plug.
He's like, we family, guys. Here you go.
He's like, here you go. Friends and family. And got us up in there. That was dope.
Both times I've been in that party has been off of the New Day.
Man, I don't want to talk about this fucking party no more.
And then talk about Nia Jax. And
We talked about that shit.
She was twerking so low, she blew out her ACLs.
She blew out her ACL twerking with us. That's
what. Oh my god.
Hey, I mean, she did tell me that she did say that she just liked to show her ass. So
well, much love and shout.
Slap it up, flip it, rub it down. Oh no,
much love and shout out to all. Of the WWE, including
like
the members of the New Day, including the members of the New Day, man. Much love to E. Much love to Austin, Xavier, whatever you want to call him, and much love to Kofi, man, our WWE champion, for even presenting this opportunity and for them embracing me. Kofi remembered me from Phoenix. We had a great rapport at Cobra, so it was, you know, it was good to see him again and take a picture with him and be in a little bit more of an open environment. Yeah,
did you go speak to the Usos when we was in that party?
You know what? By the time honestly, I was talking to Austin Gunn and Rhea Ripley, and by the time I realized they were over there, they had already left. I was literally about to go over there and say what's up.
You should have went over there and called him by his name and see if he kept up with the jokes.
Oh my god! But anyway,
like, look, cut, bro, take his shirt off. Like, yo, man, we gotta fight now.
No, man,
you think I owe you money?
They ain't finna Samoan drop me. Fuck all that. Not that damn serious.
Double splashes on
off the
banquet table.
Right. Or maybe that'll be the joke, and they just double splash. They pick me up like, nah, man, we knew it was you. We just had to.
No, we just
Yeah, man, we just had to embrace you.
I told you to stop calling me by my name.
You know, like motherfucking Ariel Monroe and Cedric Alexander doing wrestling moves on each other in the hallway. That's so dope. That's marriage goals, man. Much love to both of them. They my cousins.
I would have put my wife in a wrist lock and not have her scream. But anyway,
I thought you were about to say not have her get out.
So that was dope. I had to tell that story. I don't know. It'd be better to wrap up, I guess.
I got some other wrestling news I just saw pop up on the internet. Yeah,
name your source though.
I don't know. This is on.
You talking about you ready to wrap up?
This is
directly
from. This is directly from.
An hour?
Don't try to short the Mad Maniacs out here.
We got Patreon to go.
I want to do a lot on Patreon. So
I'm actually kind of curious how y'all feel about this. So the man himself, Mr. Five Time Booker T, has his own podcast on through ESPN Radio.
Yes.
He just announced his upcoming guest for this coming Monday.
Okay.
Take a guess who it is.
Jericho.
Nope.
There's so many people it could be.
There's Kofi.
Nope.
Kenny Omega.
Nope.
Becky Lynch.
Nope.
Batista.
Nope.
Sasha Banks.
Nope.
Triple H.
Hulk Hogan.
Oh. This is going to... I hope it's good. I hope he tears in tune.
Well, no, I want to see Hulk Hogan on Stevie Ray's podcast. That would be
Stevie Ray have a podcast?
He does.
Does he?
Everybody has a podcast.
But all podcasts don't exist on this show.
Right.
All
right.
No, we can't put over podcasts.
So I can't even say that I'm going to listen to it because that would be putting it over. But I'm very curious.
I'm curious.
But I'm saying if this is Booker T's, this doesn't have any WWE affiliation. So. No. I'm saying he can tear into him.
But will
he's
he?
A Hall of Famer.
And I also kind of
say, listen here, nigga. I'm coming for you, nigga.
I also kind of feel like if memory serves correctly,
my guest today.
I think Hogan and Booker T are cool.
Hulk Hogan, we coming for you.
Wait, what'd you say? See, Stevie might feel some type of way.
No, because I think with Stevie too, because I think Stevie shouted him out during the Hall of Fame speech.
I think they are Hulk Hogan guys.
Yeah.
That's what I really truly believe in my heart.
Because I think Hulk, is a Hulk Hogan because guy. I think back in the WCW days, I think Hulk was a big proponent in Harlem Heat with what they were doing because he thought they were great. If I'm remembering
you
this
I mean, you guys are just so good at what you do.
Let me tell you something, brother.
You brothers.
All right.
You brothers.
You brothers. Right. You actual brothers. You real brothers.
He goes like this. You brothers.
Yeah.
Puts a fist up.
He's like, you are brothers, right?
So,
but seriously, that's kind of strange.
Mad Maniacs, we'd love to hear what you have to say about that.
We would like for you to listen to this episode first.
I'm curious.
And then maybe go listen to another episode.
I'm curious. If it's out there. So, yeah, we got a ton of episodes.
I'm going to listen to it. Just
but
to hear
I
what
might
says.
Have to take a listen. But I already know. Like, I feel like this is the Hulk Hogan redemption trail. You know what I mean?
Like, he's on the path to.
Too little,
like,
too late.
Here, now go and apologize to the people. And let
it's
them
like
hear
his PR
you.
Run.
And you got to do it with a black guy so it'll seem more sincere. I don't like it.
Are there any other black wrestlers that have who have shows?
No.
I mean, no. I know Stevie Ray has one.
I mean,
one.
Not on the. But you know who does? NXT's newest signee,
who?
Shane Swerve Strickland.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir.
Shout out to Shane. I have to shout that brother out. Shane.
Him and Montese got a podcast.
Him and Montese and Errol Monroe
yes.
have a podcast. So I'm sure they
it's
have
It's called Swerve City.
Swerve City. So I saw Swerve for a quick second at Wally Mania. Always dressed fly, and he was in
fly
a real good mood.
God.
And he was like, "What's up, man?" And then I ran to the Fly God by sneaking through the back steps.
Yo, that was young. Boom, boom, boom. Yo, was that really young Chris? Boom, boom,
boom, boom. Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
He's Wale's man. Wow. So when I saw Chris, Wale's like, "Yo, y'all gotta get to know each other." And Chris like, "Yo, take my number." I'm like, "What is happening right now?"
Craziest story. Everything is 5 degrees of separation. My
to
home,
who?
My homie from Detroit.
To who?
Listen.
Term is six, but I'm not going really.
6 degrees.
For us, it's five.
It's even less for us.
Right.
Five degrees. That's going to be the name of this episode.
Five degrees.
Separation. Okay, go ahead.
One of my homies from Detroit who lives in Ohio shoots Young Chris's videos right now. Yeah.
Wait, so Chris is in Ohio? Or
no, he goes to Philly and shoots Young Chris's stuff for him.
He still makes songs?
Yes, he still makes songs. He's put out mixtapes recently. My boys go
this
out there.
Dope,
they shoot his videos. One of my other homies was just on a show with him and Freeway and Benny Siegel. They was out there shooting pool with them in Philly. Like, all my boys know them Philly cats.
Taking me back to the days in Philly. State Property was running the city.
Right, so I'm just like, that's crazy because obviously we know, like, Young Chris when he was popping. But just like you said, you're surprised he's still doing music. You ain't really heard nothing from him.
But
the fact that you ran into him out there. And I'm so just crazy. It just made me think of it like,
so
yeah, my man actually do
jams.
All his work out there.
So I'm on stage while he's rapping. That was pretty dope. West Side Gun is there. Everybody's Dizza. Like, it was good times, man. Wally Mania was dope. And that was kind of the beginning of Kofi Mania for a lot of people. Like, because they brought Kofi out.
Well,
they had Shad put him on his shoulders.
He did a speech
like,
there.
But you know what's funny is like
that
was
the beginning.
Booker T was making his speech about like, yo, man, I am the honored guest, but this is so much more than me.
Yeah.
This is about Kofi. And that's when Kofi coincidentally was actually coming up.
Yeah.
So everything was off the cuff. In. So you got the real raw emotional reaction at Wale Mania from Kofi Kingston.
Yeah, it was Kofi getting the opportunity to celebrate in front of all these black people that want to see him.
Bunch of black kids, brown kids, white kids.
Yeah,
bunch of kids just celebrating
from that whole weekend. Like Neo, I'm not sure if you remember the watch party, but you had three floors of
that place exploded.
And Hispanic wrestling fans. Like, I had never seen that
across the color spectrum.
I mean, across the color
spectrum. Everyone was on it.
But just from the wrestling
MVP
crowds
and
that I've
crying.
Been in, MVP and Shad. Just, the emotion was real in that situation. Even Megan Rand almost knocked me over. His big ass hugging me and shit. That's bro, though.
That's funny.
Like that. But no, for real, it's such a big moment, man. And really interested to see what comes up next, man.
Who do you want to see? We're going to end it with this. Who
we
do you
talk
want
one
to
more
see
thing
as
too.
Kofi's one, who, his first big opponent? But go ahead.
His first big opponent?
Yeah, who do you want to see like his next like first pay-per-view opponent to be?
Of who's on SmackDown
now. Think about
who's
on SmackDown. I'll bring out the list again.
That's a tough one because I don't even – they got rid of
– KO, Roman, Finn –
Nah, Finn's got the IC, so they're not gonna go ahead. His head's up.
Elias,
no.
Kofi
Lars,
Elias story wouldn't be
nah.
Buddy
nah.
Murphy, Ali.
I would like.
That. Ooh, Ali. This is the time for
Ali.
A heel turn.
Ali,
you I remember I told you that
it's time for the Ali.
Yo, that Ali and
you're
Finn
shaking your finger.
No,
Teak.
No,
Teeks.
No, I heard the Ali and Finn match was fire.
No, 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 no.
Okay.
The Teeks takes is hot here, man.
So it's time for Ali to go heel.
Ali is going to come at Kofi and blame him for the reason that he don't have the title. Blame him for all the bad luck that he's having right now.
Ali does not have a bad bone in his body.
Man. Do you not see that he's losing to everybody right now?
But he's such a pure baby face, though. Like, turning him heel is going to be hard.
That's why.
People love him so much.
Exactly. You know? They call him the heart and soul.
That would be Kofi turning heel. Like, it'd be hard.
It's going to be like TJ's heel turn.
TJ would be like, did he just turn
it'll
heel?
It'll be lackluster at best.
Yeah, because that was very lackluster.
No,
wait, did he just turn heel?
But this, obviously, story-wise, this just has the most thread to anything to Kofi right now, because Kofi did take his spot. Although it being because he was hurt,
logical sense is for it to be
and
Ali.
Who would you rather it be?
Is there anybody you want to see him face? Right?
For
Chad Gable's for me, there, Apollo.
I think it's gonna be Kevin Owens though,
or KO.
Yeah,
all
right.
Makes sense. For me, I would like for him to kind of stomp out Lars's momentum and fire, just because I don't like Mars. I don't like Lars.
Keep Lars away from the title for a while.
It's just so whack.
You need a monster on both shows. So I feel like him and Braun are the monsters of their show.
That's just how I feel. But theoretically, if he could run through, maybe like Buddy, I think Buddy would show his athleticism. He'll show Kofi's athleticism.
Yep.
And then someone can actually show his heart, maybe against someone who's bigger, takes down that bad guy.
Yeah, honestly, and that's why I was about to say this, because I think we're forgetting about all the wins Kofi done got under him. Kofi done went through gauntlet matches.
And a lot
he's lost to Daniel Bryan. Yeah. But he's lost to he's beat like five guys in a row, six guys in a row. I think him doing all of that means that right now we can put him in a program with Roman. And Roman doesn't have to win it.
That's
Roman
doesn't have your nut like so pretty quick.
It's too fast. Yeah, I think it's too soon.
Kofi's gonna have this.
What you mean? They can put them in a SummerSlam.
I hope so.
They can put them at odds and not blow the load. They can put them at odds and not.
Well, you're gonna turn Roman. You're gonna turn Roman heel.
Roman's gonna start getting booed again. If you put him in
Roman's
the ring
already
with Kofi,
getting booed again.
Right now.
You know what though? It's like
he's already getting booed again.
I haven't noticed.
People have already went they're already going sour.
I saw it on Raw that they were booing.
Do you feel like WWE has the capacity or the ability to make the championship picture or spectrum merely as a competition or a sport? That way you blur the lines between faces and heels and make this purely about the competition.
But they don't want you to blur the line between heels and
just
faces,
asking.
Though.
But I was just asking.
Do you think
they can do that?
The only way you can do that is if you make wins and losses matter, which wins and losses haven't mattered in a long time.
Mm-hmm. That's a really great point.
Mm-hmm. That's facts.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, facts.
Because competition is only going to come in wins and losses. Like, okay, you're better. Or you're not.
So,
but
being the fact that this is now a quote unquote new season for wrestling, like let's say they did start playing.
Yeah, it kind of is a new season. That's right.
Yeah. Let's say if they did start playing more of the wins and losses, do you feel like they could build it as more of like a competition sport versus like this whole bad guy
and
good guy
sport?
And
that's why I feel like that they could do Kofi and Roman, because say next Tuesday, Roman comes out. He's like, I'm the best. I want to fight the best.
Yeah.
And they do a non-title match. And Kofi wins.
Oh, okay. So it kind of resets Roman at that point.
It resets Roman to show him, it's competition on SmackDown. It also bigs Kofi up more to show, like, okay, that wasn't a fluke. The champ,
he's got squabbles,
you know?
Okay, I can see that. I personally don't want to see that yet. I feel like maybe SummerSlam, you make Roman fight all the way through to get there.
Check,
you know?
Yeah.
Let me tell you this, though. This is the other thing that would be dope to see. All and right. I know none of y'all want to see this from Kofi. But if Kofi start acting slimy, like the dude from 205 Live, the sliced bread dude. What's his
Brian
name?
Kendrick?
Yeah, with the title. Like if he was in a tag team match with Roman, and then he left Roman hanging in the match.
Ooh.
Or like at the end of the match after they win, he hit Roman with the Trouble in Paradise and then leave with the title. Like, oh no, like I'm still protecting what's mine even though we working together. Mm-hmm. Like I missed the New Day with a little bit of edge to him.
Yeah, we've been wanting that for a minute. I think we got to get some edge to keep this interesting. So hopefully,
see, I want the latter. I want Kofi to rebuild the title to create Chase to have more opportunities, you know, for the title. Because Kofi, I'm sure, and I hate to say this, he's not going to be a very long-lasting champion.
I feel like he can if he's an elusive champion. I feel like he's got to be... He's got to be sneaky with it.
If he's
got to get them roll ups.
If he does sneaky style,
I think. I mean, that's always fun to see. Like, I love when champions like win with like roll ups and stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I feel like at least to SummerSlam.
I want it to go on, but with my fedora on, I don't think he's gonna.
It's about to be 480 something days.
I don't know.
Pete Dunne status.
It would be great. Sure. All right, so we're going to probably wrap it up there if there's any final thing, but I want to thank you all for listening.
I can bring the next thing up on
Patreon. We're going Patreon. We got a lot of news for you, so please, if you haven't yet, patreon.com/MattManiaPodcast. As little as $1 helps us get to wrestling events, helps us to continue to bring all this goodness to you. This but content ain't cheap.
But if you pay, a couple things that need to be done real quick. Neo, I need you to drop them. Drop them sponsors. We need that payment.
But real quick, I'll say, you pay $100, you can get up in this group chat.
$100 in the group chat.
Pay that money.
Our sponsorship has actually ended.
No, not that. I was talking about the DigiLab sponsorship.
Oh, definitely got to talk to them.
You don't want me to do that sponsorship, okay? I always screw that up.
And Malik's beard brought to you by...
Oh, you already getting them out.
I know.
So we got... Of course, we're in the illustrious DigiLab Studios, recordingstudiophoenix.com for all your recording needs.
Recordingstudiophoenix.com.
Yeah.
Got it.
What
else? On 24th Street and Phoenix.
Use
your Googles.
Go to Pro Wrestling Tees to get any of our t-shirts. Even my CD is there. What else? I got a show this Friday, so if you're in Phoenix with Murs and Locksmith, should be a fun time. Crescent Ballroom, 8 o'clock start time.
You heard?
I'm on first. Don't be trying to come late.
Heard.
And no, you can't get on the guest list.
Damn.
All right.
Hey.
So, nah, y'all can.
That's funny.
But, you know, I get those calls.
Unless you Patreon.
But if you're a Patreon, you can show me that, pay that money.
Hey, listen to that. If you're a Patreon, you can get on Random's guest list. Hey,
free shows.
Free shows.
So do it, man. Back to Patreon. Thank you so much, of course, to everybody that's here. Shout your Twitters out, and then we out of here. I'm at MegaRan.
We need snacks, though.
Right. Snack of the week.
Yeah, snack of the week. I'm gonna give it to one of my all-time favorites.
Brought to you by Malik's Beard Grooming.
The queen of R&B and hip-hop soul, Miss Mary J. Blige. Hey.
She used that Malik's beard grooming to keep that dude.
She's Hazel, right? In like the Umbrella Academy?
To keep that, yes, she is.
Hazel. Shout out
she
to Hazel.
She keep that dude popping.
Yeah, but keep and if you want to get me on Twitter, at Rock Knowledge, ROKNOWLEDGE.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am L. Thank you.
No, what's your Twitter?
Oh, LP. The Neo X. Thank you.
All right.
At G1 to the rescue, G the number one, and the words to the rescue, exactly the way it sounds.
Yeah.
Yo, Teak _ Hall on Twitter and Instagram.
And yo, we out like Dean Ambrose. Peace.
Lights out. Shoulders.